writing in Greek, so you know that it's Hellenistic peoples that are involved in the church and so forth. And you know also that Ephesus is, these are people that left Israel. Even the Jews had left Israel. They were immigrants there and being raised in the diaspora. And they were drawing uncircumcised people into their group. And so Paul, in the midst of that mixed metaphor, he talks about the church and he says, look, you know, our vision for the church is not based on what we see. Just like in the Isaiah passage, our vision of the church is not based on what we see. It's based on what God is calling us to. And how do we, and where does that begin? Well, it begins with Jesus' blood on the cross. So he ties it back to Jesus, but when it goes forward, he's talking about it in terms of a new society where those things that have defined and defied and divided us are no longer there. So our unity is based on the cross. How we work out our salvation is based on resolving conflict. Because why? Because there's a dividing wall of hostility between us. So and we get it all over the place. We get it all over the place, and we see it over and over again in church politics and so on and so forth, that as we encounter the other, we have to make choices between whether we find common ground or whether we focus on what divides us. And part of what's pushing me on talking about this a little bit more is that in the conference last weekend, Pat sent out the summary earlier this week, and in it, they decided to stay with Mennonite Church USA. And so Virginia Mennonite Conference is staying within Mennonite Church USA. And we've got to find our way forward in that to exactly what that means for us. And, you know, how many more congregations will leave and so on and so forth. So the way forward is not clear. But the thing is, I always feel like we're compelled to go back to the basic things that we affirm together. And that's the starting point. Okay. So what does that mean? You know, I feel a little bit compelled to talk about victim-offender reconciliation. Is that a familiar practice for many of you? What's at the heart of it? Anybody have a summary? If you were going to do it in the classroom, say, what's the basic thing?
Beyond just getting along, but in a sense of doing this together.
More reconciliation.
Than
just getting along.
Yeah.
See, and I don't know if I've said this here, but my first experience with it, and for the senior folks here, you maybe grew up with it too, but you know, back in the mid-70s, my dad went to a conference in Chicago and came back, and he had his whole brain filled up with I'm okay, you're okay. Transactional analysis, right? And in transactional analysis, you had circles, and it sort of said, okay, there's the parent, there's the adult, and the child. And you've got these six circles. And when you and I meet, it's you've got three circles of options. I've got three circles of options. You know, I can respond to you as a parent, I can respond to you as an adult, or I can respond to you as a child. And so, you know, it's sort of the parent is always cast as dominion or ruling over. The child is always cast as ego-driven, and the adult is reasonable. And so Dad gets home from this conference, and we're seven kids, right? So you've got conflict all the time. All of a sudden, what happens? We're dragged out into the middle of the room, you know, in our living room, two chairs. Okay, Steve, you listen to Paul, and Paul, you tell me what Steve is upset about. And so I'd have to listen to my brother talking about why I'm angry with him. And of course, I'd have to, you know, it didn't start there. It started yesterday when you do this. And, you know, so you'd enlarge the conflict in a sense, but it was setting the context of the conflict. So what he did, how I responded, and the source of my anger isn't based on what you see right now. That was the precipitating event today. That was the straw that broke the camel's back today. But the issue was yesterday, if not the day before, and the day before, and before, and before. Right? And then, okay, Steve, it's your turn to shut up and listen to Paul. Paul. Me listen to him? You know, he talks all the time. I've never gotten a word in edgewise. Steve, you have to listen and summarize what Paul is saying. Oh, sucking my teeth, you know. I suck my teeth all the time at my brother. And it was worse with my sister. I should have picked Sharon. And she and I fought more.
She older?
Yeah, she's older. Yeah. Paul was older. Sharon is. And the two of them were domineering, right? Oh. So anyway, we would have to have these discussions. And they were hard because they were based on listening and repeating back to the other person. Now, for me, that's sort of the earliest gem or germ, the seed of victim offender reconciliation or restorative justice, as it's now more often recalled. Called together. But the idea is, in a sense, in the grain of the idea is that the victim and the offender have to understand their own stories, but they share that story, but then they also listen to the story from the other person's point of view. And so what's taking place is that the offender has to recognize, oh, when that happened, this is how it damaged you. There's this time of coming to terms with just how fragile the situation was and recognizing that. And so my action or my act took place and I didn't fully understand your context. And so now I'm hearing what your context is and I'm needing to repent of the damage that I didn't know I was doing. Because I saw this as a single thing, as a single event, a single offense. But no, it fell in a much broader context. And it's of that I need to repent. Both of my ignorance and of my action. You see, and we all are doing that. We all come into situations as already damaged. You know, we're all already damaged. We're carrying all kinds of damage with us. And so in a process of victim-offender relations, reconciliation or restorative justice, the idea of it is that reconciliation is not based on cheap forgiveness. Again, I don't know if I've said this before, but one of the stories back in 2003 in Paraguay at the Mennonite World Conference in Paraguay, there was this Reconciliation Act. And so you get this white German missionary representing the German colonizers that came to Paraguay, German Mennonites. And you've got I can't think of the ethnic group right now, but a native Paraguayan. And I don't know if you ever saw the movie about 20 some years ago about the Spears. Spears was in the title, but they were an ethnic group in, I don't know if it was the Brazil or whether it was Paraguay or Argentina, but they used their spears. They were a violent group, and there were a lot of settlers that got killed. And anyway, these Mennonite colonizers had seen a great deal of hostility from the native population. They had also done wrong to the native population. And so what happened there at Mennonite World Conference is that you had a native person come and give the spear back to the German person. And the German person responded and said, "You're forgiven," and there was embrace. A lot of people were very upset. There were a lot of, you know, several thousand Mennonites from around the world at that ceremony. And many of them were very upset. Why do you think they'd be upset? Here, the native person gives a symbolic apology for wrong actions in the past. Exactly. It was not reciprocated. So the who was the victim and who was the offender? It's not even clear. You know, it's not even clear. You know, we don't even need to go into Congo, but I mean, we could find over and over again stories of conflict between different ethnicities, even within ethnicities, and then the colonial practice that's superimposed on what's already existing, and then the colonial practice, the Belge exploit those animosities, and the Germans in Paraguay did the same thing. It's like guarana or something like that is end of the sphere.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saint and Elliot. Yes.
Yeah. If you get an opportunity to see that movie, it's quite good.
Jim Elliot and Nate Saint.
Correct. Yeah.
I'm not sure how you say the name.
Yeah. But they it's really about a friendship of the son of one of these mission workers who reconciled with the one of, yes. Yeah. And what's the year on that?
1956.
No, not the movie. Oh. That was before movies were invented. Gee, Manny. 2005.
2005.
See, so it's right around the same time as this Mennonite World Conference takes place. And there were a lot of Mennonites that were very upset about this whole thing. And why was it? Was that, hold it, who's the victim here and who's the offender? So even the conflict that ensued from not giving over the spear was very much like what happened in South Africa. In South Africa, apartheid ends, and you've got this truth and reconciliation, Desmond Tutu, and you're, high profile bishop in the Anglican Church. He's been head of the Anglican Global Church, and truth and reconciliation there, all these testimonies and so on and so forth. And the way that process got summarized by many people was that, yeah, what happened with truth and reconciliation was that the colonizers, the whites, the Dutch and British, et cetera, said, well, we're really sorry we stole your bicycle. And then what did they do? They rode away on the bicycle. They never returned the bicycle or never really asked the question, how did stealing your bicycle impact you? There was no process. There was the sharing of stories without the confirmation of understanding and the looking at the impact. What's that? Well, see, it's ambiguous. The reason I'm telling this story is in part coming out of last week's sermon. I think it was just last week that I talked about MCC and some situations where there's been abuse of power, and that they're a colleague of mine, because I used to be Africa Europe director with Mennonite Mission Network, and one of my colleagues has been caught up in a conflict with MCC, where there was a power play by MCC that they are trying to work restoratively with, but MCC is refusing to work with them, and so they've gone public, and there are a whole 40 more people have shared their stories. And so it's MCC, when you see these don't mess with me license plates, they step, you tread it on a serpent, not serpents biting you back, it's not going to go away that easily. So the point of it is just to say that when we talk about reconciliation, when we talk about restoration and so forth, unless the two parties are meeting and discussing the context of the actions and the responses over time, then you can't get to a point of restoration. And when I think about the work with on the river, it's the same kind of thing. If we don't look at what's to simply look at the impact at present doesn't help. It gives you information, but without going back to the origins on these kinds of questions, we really never come to accountability about how our actions have impacted others. So when it comes to this dividing wall of hostility, naming the bricks, naming the offenses, and being able to say, I recognize that I offended you, or this was an abuse of power or relationship or something. Unless we identify those things, then we're really not engaging in a process of reconciliation. So it's just to say that the words here, I felt like there was not enough meat, if you will, or soy. There wasn't enough soy involved here. in this document, because we are to help reconcile people to God. Yes, I agree. We are to help people reconcile to each other. I agree. We are ambassadors of reconciliation in the world. I agree, but it needs more substance, because otherwise our damage and our arrogance are always colliding with each other and leading to further injustice. Let's close with just a word of prayer. God of grace and mercy and love, you are creator and master of the universe, and you are the one who gave us life, and you are even the one who brought us into this union in this country, this union in this place. And we are grateful for the way that you have brought us to this point in time, in this place in time. We also recognize that we fail in many ways to reflect your goodness in our lives. We fail to listen to each other. We fail to learn from each other's stories. And so we pray, Lord, that you can help us build a more perfect union that reflects your love and your grace and your justice and your peace and your harmony with people and the world that you have created on all levels, Lord. So we thank you that you do not abandon us, and that your presence is always with us, and that Jesus is the one who draws us to be reconciled to you, to each other, and to the world. This we proclaim and we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.